WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. An execution on hold in Texas. The state Supreme Court made a rare move last night, stopping a death row inmate from becoming the first person in the U.S. to be executed for a shaken baby syndrome murder.
The Texas Supreme Court granting an emergency stay to the execution of 56-year-old Robert Roberson after state lawmakers petitioned the court. They subpoenaed him to appear at a criminal justice hearing scheduled Monday in an attempt to block Thursday's execution. It worked. State Rep. Joe Moody chairs the committee.
To me, it's shocking and deeply disturbing that in Texas in 2024, scientific evidence of innocence can be casually ignored.
Roberson's lawyers and medical advocates say his 2-year-old daughter died from double pneumonia and was not killed by shaken baby syndrome. Chris Fox for CBS News, Austin.
Former President Donald Trump showed off his comedy chops at last night's Al Smith Catholic Charity Dinner in New York.
These days, it's really a pleasure anywhere in New York without a subpoena for my appearance. Anytime I don't get a subpoena, I'm very happy.
Vice President Harris appeared in a taped video segment with comedian Molly Shannon and spoke earlier at a rally in Wisconsin.
When you listen to Donald Trump talk, it becomes increasingly clear, I think, he has no idea what he's talking about.
The Biden administration hoping the death of Hamas leader Yahya Sinwar will lead to a ceasefire in Gaza. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan.
Sinwar was more interested in causing mayhem and chaos and death than in actually trying to achieve a ceasefire and hostage deal.
Israel says the soldiers didn't realize that who they'd killed until they found his body in the rubble after a firefight in southern Gaza. Investigators in Argentina piecing together what happened in the moment before One Direction's Liam Payne fell to his death from a hotel balcony. CBS's Lelia Luciano.
It seemed like he had fallen at a time when he might have been either unconscious or semi-conscious, so he didn't have any defensive wounds, and the way the body was found didn't seem like he tried to protect himself in any way.
The answer for Taylor Swift fans in Miami.
Are you ready for it?
Is yes. She resumes her Eras tour at Hard Rock Stadium tonight. Swifties have been lining up to buy sweatshirts and friendship bracelets. Brittany flew in from Connecticut and plunked down $200.
I feel like that's, you know, on the low end of what everybody else is spending. But yeah, so got stuff for my kids at home. So they didn't get to come to the concert, but they can get some swag.
Both S&P and Dow futures are up 9. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Charges are filed against Jesse Vang and Katrina Bauer in the death of Elijah Vu. Manitowoc County District Attorney Jacqueline LaBrie made the announcement at a news conference Thursday afternoon.
Well, I will not comment further on the details of the case out of respect for the ongoing judicial process. I assure you that we remain committed to working with law enforcement to hold those responsible for his death accountable.
Elijah was the 3-year-old boy from Two Rivers who went missing in February and whose body was found last month. A bail hearing for Bauer and Vang will be Friday. Vice President Kamala Harris is blitzing battleground Wisconsin with 2.5 weeks to Election Day. She campaigned in Milwaukee, La Crosse, and Green Bay Thursday. Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan are critical to Harris's chances of winning in November. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Bucks preseason ends with a loss. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing in Dallas 109-84. Doc Rivers playing a lot of his younger players. What did he think of watching Giannis and Damian Lillard coaching the rookies?
I loved it.
I love that. I just think we got so many young guys on our team. The way they can be taught right is by obviously the coaches, but really the players. And when we have a group of guys that are invested in our young guys, I think that's going to pay dividends.
NFL, the Green Bay Packers play the Houston Texans Sunday, featuring quarterback C.J. Stroud. The Packers have 17 takeaways this season, the most in the NFL, thanks to new defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley, who says they have a team meeting called The Ball, where all they do is talk about turnovers.
We're talking about it each week. It's not just talk. It's not like hearsay, like, hey, we're going to attack the ball and be good at taking away the ball. We've dedicated a whole meeting to it. When I was in San Francisco with the Niners, Kyle had me do that meeting every Thursday for 2 years.
That's Packers defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny and still windy today. We'll get to around 71 for a high this afternoon with winds south at 15 to 25. Tonight, clear, low in the upper 40s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, low 70s. Then on Sunday, sunshine with a high back into the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 50.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Our old friend Peter Rapine from EPOM's World wraps up with a week in review of the lighter side. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who doesn't believe in sex after marriage, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. Hey, if you're up for a good time on November 2nd, got to watch the way I phrase that after that intro. From 5 to 10 at the Marinette Community Rec Center, they're having blues, brews, and barbecue. We had Sean Katzbeck on last night, who is the marketing director for the Marinette Community Rec Center, who talked about this great event they're doing up there in my hood. And they've got two outstanding blues musicians, live music. That's right. They'll be there playing in person, a brisket cook-off, and some really great beer. And the brisket thing is a competition. Would you judge something like that?
Oh, yes.
Conrad, you're drooling all over the council. Yeah, that sounds fun. Tickets are $17.50, but we're giving some away tonight. So if you text us and tell us you want to go, we've got a couple tickets with your name on it. So let us know about that. Our question tonight is, what is your favorite mob movie? And we've had some of the usuals tonight, but a few that have thought outside the box. Some Like It Hot. I was not ready for that, and I forgot it was a mob movie, to be honest with you. But Some great texts coming in so far. Let us know what you think at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know what your favorite mob movie is. And we will have our in-studio guest, Robert Dennis, will be here in about 15 minutes. And we'll talk about mob movies with Bob. And he is also quite knowledgeable on the mafia. And we'll talk to him about the state of the mob these days in Wisconsin and in general. So that's coming up in just a few minutes. Our text line is, Bridget said, I really like Eric's stories. Bridget from the 818. Yeah, Eric had a great story. It was a great backstory, too. I love how he got into kind of the acting part of it. That was interesting. And how he ended up in the Wisconsin Dells. And it's funny because, like, here he is, this guy growing up in California, and you tell him, oh, I'm going to own a popcorn store in the Midwest, in the Wisconsin Dells, and have five kids. Probably had no idea. I love stories like that. From the 608, Untouchables. That's a good one, too. Brian De Palma, Kevin Costner. Great shootout scene at Union Station in downtown Chicago. I can't go into downtown or into Union Station without thinking of that scene and where they shot this and where they shot that. I tend to, whenever I go to Chicago these days, I'm kind of done driving really anywhere if I don't have to. So I take the train. We'll drive to Milwaukee and take the train downtown to Chicago. And it's so much fun landing in Union Station and seeing where they shot some of those great iconic scenes. But the Untouchables is a great mob movie. And the scene where Sean Connery dies is great too, where he's crawling and he's tried to hold on. I think he was holding on to the name. No, or maybe it was an address, but a great scene there as well. So that's a great one. 608. Thank you very much. So, okay. It was Norm MacDonald was a stand-up comedian. And he died, I want to say, in 2022, maybe. But Norm was a really good stand-up. I never had the pleasure of meeting him or working with him. I was not a stand-up for that long, just about 10 years or so. But he's a guy I always kind of wish I had worked with. And he's very funny, could be very fun. His act was funny. He could be very funny off the cuff. And we have a clip here that I want to play. 2021 is when Norm MacDonald passed away. But there's a great clip of him that we have from when he was on Conan O'Brien. Courtney Thorne Smith was the other guest, and she was talking about just having done a film with Carrot Top. And Norm couldn't help himself. Carrot Top, of course, the redheaded prop comic who is kind of all over the place and a heck of a nice guy, as I understand it. Never had the pleasure of working with him either, but I did meet him once. So the movie is called Chairman of the Board, and it was Carrot Top and Courtney Thorne Smith. She's telling Conan about this, and Norm is sitting next to her. And it's kind of a long clip. It's a little over 3 minutes long, but stick with it. The payoff is great.
Well, I want to talk to you about something, because this came up earlier in the show accidentally, because I didn't know what Norm was going to talk about tonight, and it's best sometimes if I don't know. But he mentioned Carrot Top. You are making a movie with Carrot Top, right?
I made a movie with Carrot Top.
Okay. You made a movie with Carrot Top. It's not out yet.
No, it's not out yet.
Can you put the picture up of Carrot Top again just so we can all see him? Oh, there it is again. Yeah. All right. Okay.
Wait a minute. She left Melrose Place to do a movie with Carrot Top?
That's where I'm going, my friend. This begs the question. Now, why a movie with Carrot Top?
Why a movie with Carrot Top?
I mean, no, I don't know much about Carrot Top, you know? I don't know much about him. I'm a little jealous because he's a red-haired comedian, and I felt like maybe you'd do a movie with me first, then move on to Carrot Top, then to Ralph Mal from Happy Days. You know, sort of the three. There's an order in which you do movies with the redheads. What's he like, first of all?
He's extraordinarily sweet.
Nice guy.
He really is. And mm-hmm. He worked very hard, and he was adorable.
And he worked with a lot of props and stuff, too, right?
Not in the movie.
Oh, in the movie they took his props away?
They took his props away.
That's a bad time to suddenly take away everything you know about comedy. You know, you've been using props now all your life for comedy. Now we're going to take them away when you make your first movie. Was he okay, though, with it? He was cool?
He was great. He did a wonderful job.
Do you have a scene where you and him embrace?
Yeah, lots of making out.
Oh, for God's sake.
Nothing but making out.
All right.
It's like 9.5 weeks, but Carrot Top. We were doing.
Wow! I gotta check out that movie.
Is it called 9.5 seconds? Premature.
You know? You know what happened? This is what happened. You know what happened? He said 9.5 seconds, and I'm looking at him because I know there's more. And I wait and wait, and I see the glimmer in the eye, and then bang! I thought you were going to crack, but no. But what's the movie going to be called? Really?
Well, I know what it's going to be called.
Yeah, what's that?
If it's got Carrot Top in it, you know what a good name for it would be?
What's that, Norm?
Box Office Poison.
She's in it.
What about my career?
Courtney Thorne Smith, the girl sitting to your left, is in the movie.
I'm going to go see it for
what? How do you steer everybody else away?
No, I love this girl. I would see any movie with this girl in it. She's a beautiful lady. And a talented, nice talk show guest.
Okay. As evidenced by her appearance on our rival show. All right, well, there's this 2-hour season finale of Melrose Place. There's this movie coming out.
Yes.
Title undetermined at this point.
Chairman of the Board.
Oh, all right. Do something with that, you freak.
I bet the board is spelled B-O-R-E-D.
That's so great. Norm MacDonald on Conan O'Brien from several years ago. And it makes me wonder what happened to Courtney Thorne Smith. She was so likable and fun. On every interview I saw her on, she was a good actor. And you just haven't heard much from her recently. So I always wonder what is happening with Courtney Thorne Smith. But that's a great clip. And we have one more Norm clip. This is funny. This is a joke Norm did about the Olympics. It's a much shorter clip. Was this on Conan too? I can't remember.
Yeah, it was.
This is also on Conan, where Norm is talking about the Olympics. Here's Norm MacDonald again.
I watch every sport, so the Olympics is my favorite thing. And I don't watch them. Like, sometimes in the Olympics, they have, like lame sports, you know, where they're not real sports, you know. Like, a lot of times what they'll do is they'll try to combine two sports together, you know, make up a new sport.
Right.
You know? They're fine sports together, but when they mix them up, they make a, you know, a god-awful mess, you know. And, like, I saw this one, I remember, it was a guy, he, like, run a 100-yard dash, and then fish. You know the guys?
You know, fish, yeah.
Yeah, he's fishing in a creek.
So that's not a good one. You don't like that.
No, and you know, all the sports, and the great sports, and then the bizarre. Like, you ever see that one where they like walk fast? It's the fast walking. It's just a guy walking fast. It's not like a sport. This guy doesn't get a lot of respect around the Olympic Village, you know, from like the sprinters and stuff, you know. And they went, "Hey, Fred, good stroll today there, man. That was the briskest stroll. You smashed the 20-minute mile, I heard. They said it could never be done." But you know what's weird? Is that guy gets a gold medal.
Uh-huh.
And meanwhile, like the decathlon champ, he gets a gold medal. You know, that's not fair. Like, they shouldn't get the same thing. Like, you get the gold medal, you're 10, you're the world's greatest athlete, you do 10, and then the other guy walks fast? It's like crazy.
They should have another medal.
Yeah, they should
have. That's not right.
He should get they should give that guy like a stick or something. You get a stick, you know?
A nice stick, but a stick. Yeah,
nice stick. That's for you, buddy. And then you can do all your great endorsement deals there afterwards.
Well, that's Norm MacDonald. Great stuff. Mike Desitel on the stream says, if you were a mobster or a made man, what would your mob name be? Well, that's interesting. The ice pick. I don't know. I would think of creative ways to kill people. Like, I think I would like the number two pencil. Like, just stab someone to death with a pencil.
The con.
Oh, the con man.
The convoy.
Why? Does he run scams? No, his name's Con.
The convoy, because I always ride in a convoy.
His name, he got his mob name from two morning talk show hosts. Mike continues, Pete Schwabba and Robert Dennis are my two favorite wise guys. Mike is thinking we are wise guys, and we are, but we're the different kind of wise guys. We're not, I don't think Bob is in the mob. What if Bob was really like a mob kingpin, and I'm having him in here to talk about the mob, and he's seconds away from crushing my skull every time he's in here. And then Mike says, one of my favorite mob movies is A Bronx Tale. Great answer. And that's Conrad's favorite, too.
Yes.
That's in my top 10 for sure. And another one I kind of forgot about. Where was that? I just saw that on that list you sent on IMDb. Not The Irishman, A Bronx Tale. Oh, Donnie Brasco kind of slips under the radar sometimes. That's Johnny Depp and Al Pacino. Al Pacino is in most of these mob movies. And he's good at it. That's what he does, in my opinion, better than any of his other acting jobs. So, all right. So you can still get in on our question, if you like. What is your favorite mob movie? Let us know on the stream, on the app at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And we'll read your text on the radio. Trying to give some tickets away here, too. If you guys want to go to Blues, Brews, and Barbecue in Marinette on November 2nd, let us know. We got free tickets for you. And we will be right back, ladies and gentlemen, after this very quick break with our resident mob expert, Robert Dennis. This is Pete Schwabba in Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In separate rulings October 16th, courts in Alabama and Nebraska sided with voters over zealous state officials, protecting the right to register and vote in the 2024 election. In August, the Alabama Secretary of State announced a purge of registered voters who had or once had a non-citizen identification number issued with a federal green card as a legal resident alien. But many of those registered are now naturalized citizens. A federal district court judge ruled that Alabama must halt that process and restore voting rights to those affected, citing longstanding federal law requiring purges to be completed 90 days or earlier from an election. The Nebraska Supreme Court rejected an attempt by the Secretary of State to subvert a 20-year-old state law allowing formerly incarcerated Nebraskans convicted of a felony to register and vote. Secretary of State Robert Enven cited an opinion by the Nebraska Attorney General that only the Nebraska Board of Pardons could restore that right. He directed election officials in July to ignore the law and stop registering those citizens. The state Supreme Court's reversal of that order affects as many as 7,000 returning citizens. Those already registered will automatically be restored, and those eligible have until October 25th to register in person. We have resources to check a registration at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Carl Sarecki from Door County Trolley. Have you ever lost anybody on one of the tours?
The question really isn't did you lose people or did you gain them? True story, one of our drivers.
So he gets home, picked up a spirit along the tour.
Yeah, he's in bed, and then all of a sudden the treadmill starts up on him.
See, if I were a ghost, I think I would just get liposuction. I don't think I would mess around with cardio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Tom from New Berlin, he's in the 414. He says, Norm Love, a big Norm McDonald. Unless that's random and he was talking about Norm from Cheers for no other reason, I find that to be kind of funny, actually. But I think he's referring to Norm McDonald. And yeah, very funny. Very funny, Tom. I agree with you and glad you like that. Jim from Appleton says, Angels with Filthy Souls. Pure camp, the gangster movie, and Home Alone. Yes. I read the first part of that. It's like, why does that sound so familiar? You remember that when he had the, he's like, keep the change, you filthy animal.
Yes, yes.
That's great. Tom from New Berlin says, Pete, thanks. I don't know what you're thanking me for, Tom, but you're very welcome.
The Norm Love.
It's, just for playing that. Okay. That's what we're doing here, Tom. We're doing here. We're trying to entertain. So glad you liked it. And thanks for listening, buddy. From the 608, take me home for De Bruce, Der Hay, to De Hood. Sometimes you just get a text and it's like, okay.
Okay.
Thank you for sharing that. We need a translator for that though, please, 608. So please explain and we will clear the record there, clear the air there. All right. So this is exciting. I had this next gentleman on the show a few months ago. We had a lot of fun talking about the mob and the mafia. And I thought it was high time he came back and joined us again. And he is here tonight in the studio. Bob Dennis is here. He is a mob. Would you say you're a mob expert, Bob, or just a guy with a lot of knowledge? I don't want to put you on the spot.
Well, here's the deal. Years ago, back when I was still in broadcasting, I was told that an expert was the person who knew how much dynamite to place up the backside of a bull to blow off the horns without irritating the bull. So I am not an expert.
Wow. Where did you go to broadcasting school?
I went to Elkins Institute in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Very nice. You got the voice, too. That doesn't surprise me.
It's on loan. I borrowed it.
That's okay. Great to have you here. Thanks for coming back.
Can I say a couple quick things real quick?
Absolutely.
I just want to thank people who are listening on your Civic-wide media network.
Okay.
Marshall and Gretchen at WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. Tom from Minocqua at WR. I don't know what that letter is. My handwriting is horrible. Ray and Heidi up in Hayward at WBZH. Goody at WCFW in Eau Claire. And Tim in Minneapolis, who is listening online.
Outstanding. That's nice. Thank you all for listening. And would they be listening even if you weren't here?
I would assume so. I would think so.
Either way, it's great to have them. You know. And thank you for helping bring an audience. That's great. That's not the only reason I booked you, though, Bob. I love
I'm not paying. I'm not giving you money.
It's Conrad, you're supposed to get the money before he put the headphones on.
It's the old
I can't stress that enough.
It's the old Bob Uecker line about he said he went to play for the Brewers, and his contract was $3,000. And he said his father worked quite a while, but they were able to come up with it.
Oh, it worked out well for him. However that happened. Bob, are you? I wanted to have you here tonight too because we've been talking a lot about scary movies. Mm-hmm. We talk a lot about movies in general, but given that it's Halloween season, I just needed a break. As fun as they are to talk about, and haunted stories and all that kind of stuff. Are you a big fan of Halloween?
I like Halloween and I like the movies, but I like the older movies better.
The older
I'm
scary
an old
movies?
Guy, you know.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite scary movie?
Anything from basically about 1930 on through into the probably the early 70s.
Okay.
You know, it's just, and I know when I was here last time, I mentioned that my father helped to run a drive-in movie theater in Minneapolis called the Hunter Twin Drive-In. So we saw every scary movie that came out. And they were usually pretty campy and pretty, you know, B-grade quality type movies.
Right.
But it was fun.
They didn't have the effects back then. Like now, I can't believe the movies kids are allowed to watch because it's some of them look so real. Mm-hmm. Like, I think the movies you're probably talking about, you were probably a little scared, but you knew it was a movie just because of what the technology where that was at, right?
And years ago when I was still in school, I went to a theater in St. Paul where they were showing the original now I'm not going to be able to come up with the name. Feed Me, Seymour. What's the movie?
Little Shop of Horrors?
Yes, they showed the original one, which was in black and white.
Oh, wow.
And I was sitting in the front because it was a huge theater filled with college kids, and the first close-up was of this beautiful blonde lady. And I had a little bit of a libation that night, and as soon as that first close-up came, I screamed at the top of my lungs, and the whole place went nuts. There was popcorn flying. There were candy bars flying. For the rest of the night, it was just nuts. But it was fun.
Did you like the remake with Rick Moranis and Steve Martin?
Yes, I did. I love Rick Moranis.
I do, too.
And I know that he took a break in his career because his wife had passed away, and he wanted to spend the time with his family.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Okay.
That's why he actually stepped back from acting and has in recent years now begun to do a little bit more. Come back.
The song, is it Amanda Plummer? Who sings Suddenly Seymour? It's such a great song. I love that song. And the movie's just so much fun. I kind of forgot about it until you just mentioned it.
I love that insert of the music. It's like in Beetlejuice where they sing, Day-o.
Yeah.
You know,
have you seen the new Beetlejuice?
I have
Beetlejuice,
not.
Beetlejuice?
I have not.
Okay. I haven't seen it either. I'm kind of behind on the Conrad has seen.
Yep. I've seen both of them.
And you liked the new one.
I did. It was a fun movie.
All right, because I did see Beetlejuice years ago. Would I be lost if I saw this Beetlejuice?
No, actually, because I watched them out of order.
Okay.
I watched Beetlejuice, because I just saw it, I was bored.
Wow.
Because it's on the, now you can watch it on Prime, but you have to pay for it, you know. And if you watch that first and then watch Beetlejuice, But it is fun to watch them in order, I'd say.
I think it's funny when you end up watching a movie just because you're too lazy to do your laundry or get off the couch. I might as well watch the sequel.
How'd you know?
I've been there on Sundays, you know. Bob Dennis is here. We're going to talk about mob movies.
Sure.
And I'd love to ask you after the news where you think the state of the mafia is in Wisconsin. These days, does it have teeth? Is it still there? We'll talk about all of that. Bob Dennis is in studio. So much fun talking about the things I talk about with Bob, and I'll read some more of your texts too. That's coming up next after Civic Media's award-winning news keeps you informed. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Right back to where it should have been. Cause now she's gone. With
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
CBS News Brief. The first execution in the U.S. for shaken baby syndrome murder placed on hold by Texas highest court after experts say Robert Robertson's daughter died of double pneumonia. State Republican Lacey Hall.
So thankful and appreciative of the Supreme Court. And I look forward to welcoming Robert to his Texas house, to his Texas Capitol on Monday.
Vice President Harris skipped last night's Al Smith dinner in New York, but got digs in at a rally in Wisconsin.
That man calls himself the father of IVF.
Former President Donald Trump, the main event at the Catholic charity dinner in his hometown.
You better remember I'm here, and she's not. I could have done that, too.
New hopes for a ceasefire in Gaza after the death of Hamas leader Yahya Sinwar. Ronan Nutra's son Omer was taken hostage in the October 7th attack.
Sinwar, who was described as a major obstacle to a deal, is no longer alive.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's unemployment rate is holding steady. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development says the state's jobless rate was 2.9% in September. Wisconsin's labor force increased by 6,700 workers over the month. Wisconsin farmers are helping other farmers hit hard by Hurricanes Helene and Milton. Savannah Tome Olson reports.
Farmers here in Wisconsin are delivering hay for animals in North Carolina and Tennessee. It started with a Northwoods window company who teamed up with a Merrill farmer to send 54 large bales of hay to North Carolina. So far now, 10 trucks from across the country have delivered hay to states impacted by the hurricanes. They're looking for more drivers to take down more hay, if you're interested. I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Waba. Headed to the theater this weekend? Only a few films open in wide release, but two of them are re-releases. The first one is Back to the Future Part 2, starring Michael J. Fox. Many people think the second installment was better than the original and is much better than the third one. The film is being released in honor of its 35th anniversary. Another re-release hitting the screens this weekend is Hocus Pocus. The 1993 film stars Bette Midler and Sarah Jessica Parker. Although critics were lukewarm on it initially, it did very well with audiences and has great performances by its cast. If you're up for some scares, check out Smile 2, yet another horror film that is so far anyway critically acclaimed with an 82% on Rotten Tomatoes. And if you're lucky enough to live in a town where a theater is showing Goodrich, you can check out some good old-fashioned comedy drama starring Michael Keaton. The film is not yet reviewed, but could be the perfect recipe if you're tired of being freaked out all month. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mostly sunny and still windy today. We'll get to around 71 for a high this afternoon with winds south at 15 to 25. Tonight, clear, low in the upper 40s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, low 70s. Then on Sunday, sunshine with a high back into the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Matt Nair on air.
Vice President and Director of Marketing for Versity, Gretchen Jameson, is with us.
When you donate blood, there's a couple of different products, if you will, that your blood can produce. There's whole blood. You can do platelets every 2 weeks. You can be a double red, which is what you do.
Yes. For me personally, whatever I can do to maximize my gift, as you say, is worth it.
So you can go to Versity.org and take a look at all the different ways to donate and give.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Minority Rule. The author is Ari Berman.
If you look back at Wisconsin history, it gave rise to Social Security and an unemployment insurance and collective bargaining. It really personified the idea that no matter what political party you were with, government should work for the common good. And Walker had a very different idea, that government should work for this conservative elite instead.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning, we'll have a guest from Planned Parenthood on how the fight to restore women's health care rights is not losing steam as Election Day draws near.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Get up, Paul. I want to drive them home. When you're feeling blue.
Bridget from the 818 says, Eastern promises Viggo Mortensen. And she says Viggo Mortensen is a great actor. He is a great actor, and he was in a film called The History of Violence. And I know, I remember, I saw that film, but I don't remember A Mob Connection, but I think he kind of is hiding out and has to do something violent, and then his kind of backstory unravels a little bit. But I have not seen Eastern Promises. Thank you, Bridget, for that. I will definitely check that out. Melinda in Sun Prairie says, ever see the dildo scene in Slums of Beverly Hills, one of my favorites for mob movies, Married to the Mob, female mobsters. Yes, I did see Married to the Mob. I feel like I saw Slums of Beverly Hills, but I don't remember that. I will say, Melinda, but thank you for the most controversial text of the night. It's great to hear from you. Anna says, Pete, please ask your guest what he thinks of the Mob Museum in Las Vegas. All right, we'll do that. I want to say real quick before we get back into it with Bob, that tomorrow night on the show, we have Ron Helmick. He is a paranormal investigator from Racine. He's going to be here tomorrow night with actual audio of a ghost that he captured while paranormally investigating. So I'm too chicken to play the file he sent, because last night I got the email at like 12:30 at night. I was up alone. I'm like, I don't want to hear a ghost audio file right before I go to bed. So Conrad and I both decided we're going to listen to it tomorrow right before we go on the air, because neither one of us, we're both too freaked out to listen to it. So Ron will be here tomorrow. That's for Freaky Friday at 6:35. And then also it's a bar band Friday night. So Terry Barr will be here at 7:35 with great music and sparkling conversation like every week. From Terry. My guest is Bob Dennis. We're talking about the mob tonight, and Bob sort of inspired tonight's question, your favorite mob films. So we'll read some more texts in just a little bit, but I want to make sure we have a discussion here with Bob. What about that museum in Las Vegas, Bob?
It's fantastic.
Really?
If you get a chance, or if you go to Las Vegas, I mean, there's a lot of glitz and glamour and all the other kind of crazy stuff in Vegas, but if you get a chance to see the Mob Museum in Vegas, go. Because they have actual artifacts from people who were, you know, mobsters.
Like murder weapons,
yes.
And stuff like that?
Yes.
Wow,
actual,
really?
True Tommy guns and knives and whatnot. And and they'll show you some of the historical aspect to it. They'll tell you about the truth of what happened out there and how it began, how it was actually a crossroads in the desert.
Yeah.
Where they had just a couple small little buildings and a gas station when Bugsy Siegel went out there and said, this is where we're going to build it, you know, and...
And they thought he was crazy, right? Like when he tried to sell the New York mob on it?
Yeah. Yes. Well, and where he got into trouble was he was skimming money along with his
girlfriend, right?
Yeah, I can't think of her name. I want to say Veronica Lake, but I don't think that's right. It's somebody else. And that's where he got into trouble. That's why they took him out. And right after they took him out, they just had this huge bonanza. I mean, Las Vegas just took off like crazy.
Isn't
and it was like
crazy?
Everyone's
wow.
like, let's go there. I was there in 1968. With my parents, and it was still very much the old
mob
Vegas.
Control.
Yeah, oh, absolutely,
100%.
I mean, you went to a what was it called? The Golden
Sands?
Golden. It was a restaurant, Golden Cafe,
Nugget?
Golden Cow, something like that. Yeah. And you'd walk in there, and there'd be people like Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra or other mafia people that were there. And you went in, and my dad loved that kind of stuff. He was like, "Oh yeah, we're going there." And then. We're there, and my mom's like, "Yeah, Roy, I don't think we should be in here. This does not look a good place for the kids." You know,
so. Kids aren't going to get whacked.
Yeah, it's like you know, just, they don't care. You know,
right.
it's a family thing. So,
I love the story, and I don't. Maybe we talked about this last time you were here, where the Chicago mob had some kind of inside info about new regulations in Vegas. Mm-hmm. So they set up a deal with the New York mob, and they said, "You can have all the new hotels. We want these hotels," and it was the Stardust and some other places. Fully knowing that they weren't going to be able to control everything the way they could. So they that created some bad blood. But when I moved to L.A. in the 90s, I got to stay at the Stardust with my wife on our drive out there before about a year before they tore it down. Mm-hmm. And that was a great hotel that had a lot of mob history, I know, from the Chicago mob anyway. But so where is the state of the mob right now, Bob, in Wisconsin? I know in Milwaukee you had the Balestrieri's, and there was a lot of organized crime here. Maybe not like Chicago or New York or whatever, but there was definitely organized crime in Wisconsin. Where are things at now?
It's not the same in Wisconsin as it is in other places in the country. Wisconsin, especially Milwaukee, was never really known as a violent place. They were like a second level of mob and mafia and criminality. They did all the scamming, and they were huge into jukeboxes. It was a
right.
huge jukebox thing, because anything that generated cash of any kind was always a huge thing for the mob, because they could then, you know, launder money.
Right.
And it sounds like you're thinking nickels and dimes and quarters, but it ends up being billions of dollars.
Right.
So, but they also were under the eye of Chicago.
Right.
They really didn't do anything without being first approved by, you know, the powers that be in Chicago, which is why they were able to continue to exist. And Frank Balestrieri was the man in charge for many, many, many years.
Right.
And you don't do that unless you got a good relationship with, you know, the big guys.
And it's probably, was it a little easier for like a mob organization to exist in Milwaukee? Because you have a Chicago, which is called, we talked about the outfit.
Mm-hmm.
But they had probably more eyes on them from the federal government or law enforcement, I would imagine.
Oh,
was
absolutely.
It a little easier to exist in Milwaukee?
Absolutely. Okay. I mean, there were the FBI in the time when they followed the Milwaukee mafia around. Oftentimes it would follow them and have a report on something. And then after a while, like, yeah, this is nothing. But if you want to listen to a good podcast about the Milwaukee Mafia, it is called The Milwaukee Mafia. And Gavin Schmidt and Eric Waltkrins. Wonderful. I'm giving them a plug.
Okay. There.
But it's absolutely wonderful, because they go very in-depth in it. And
nice.
It gives you a lot of detail. Kind of a plug there. I'm sorry. But.
That's okay. No, I listen, I'm fascinated. I think I told you last time you were here, I read a whole bunch of books by Bill Romer, a former FBI agent who talks about the days when they finally got the go-ahead from J. Edgar Hoover to place bugs in these social clubs. And the stuff they found out was incredible. But so we've talked about that too before. The Chicago mob, as I understand it, what I've read is that was at one point the biggest criminal outfit in the history of the world, because they controlled everything. New York was broken up into five families. Chicago controlled all of Chicago, everything west of the Mississippi, because they had the Hollywood unions, and Vegas as well. Where is the state of the mob in places like Chicago and New York? You said it's a little more prominent outside of Wisconsin. How are those organizations?
They are all still strong.
Okay.
But the thing is that because you see more about international things going on, about the cartels and the drugs and whatnot, you don't hear as much about it. But there are still massive amounts of illegal things going on, everything from gambling to, I'm trying to think what else, obviously some drugs and alcohol. And the big thing that for a while, believe it or not, was cigarettes. Heisting or boosting semis full of cigarettes and just taking them out and selling them. And they sell them for quite a bit less because they didn't have to pay the taxes on them. And people turned around on the street and used them as well.
And didn't they control like the gambling machines and bars? And so I heard they made a lot of money doing that.
A lot of money on that as well.
Okay.
And of course, they could fix them to make them hit or miss as often as they wanted. And that's true in Vegas as well, whether you realize it or not. They can fix them to make the slots loose or tight. And if business is not doing so well, they loosen them up. The other thing to know is that if you go to Vegas, you go to any of the different casinos, walk in there and stand, not too long because they get nervous when you stand too long, but stand beneath the speakers in the ceiling. And the speakers in the ceiling are feeding the sound of the machines paying out. You know, the ding, 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 ding. That sound is going through the speakers constantly. So even if the machine
sounds like
it sounds like people are winning. Yeah, but
oh wow,
they may not be. So
I love those tricks that they have in the casinos. I remember when I lived in LA and I would go do casinos around near Vegas or in like Needles, California, wherever they always have these roadside casinos. And my buddy Jimmy Pardo and I stayed there and gambled one night. I thought it was like 3 a.m. We walked out. It was like 7:30 a.m. No clocks.
Mm-hmm.
They pump pure oxygen into the places. So you have all this energy. Like they know all those tricks, don't they? Mm-hmm. To keep people there and emptying their pockets.
You just lose any grasp of reality that's right. going on. And when I was in Las Vegas a few times, some of the times for broadcast conventions. And believe it or not, a couple of times when we had to do basketball tournaments there, the Adidas 64 was there for the AAU championships.
Huh.
And I was there for that. The great part about it was that you could still smoke cigars. So you could go in and stand in the casinos and smoke cigars and just kind of watch what was going on. And it was amazing the amount of money people were plinking away there.
My guest is Bob Dennis. He is a mob aficionado, let's call you.
Sure.
He's a guy who knows a lot about the mob, and that's why he's on the show tonight. He has been gracious enough to come into the studio. The text line says, not sure, Mike Desdalt, not sure you want to be the pencil killer. Your nickname could be number two. I'd be okay with that. Dave on the text line says, Norm was great in the middle. I forgot Norm MacDonald was on the middle. Thank you for that, Dave. Dave says, I'm Little Irv. The Brews and Cues sounds fun. Dave, if you want tickets, let us know. We can set you up. Conrad will take your information, so let us know on the stream. Mike says, have Bob slide a little closer to you so we can see him better.
I am
what
hiding.
Kind of sick, perverted thing are you running there, Mike Desitel? Bob is here. You can see Bob. He's just, Mike's just your friend. He's trying to have
yes,
fun.
Yes, he's just... What are you doing there watching this? You should, you know, you should be doing something productive.
Listen to the radio, yeah, Mike. Yeah. Oh, Mike's
Mike is a great guy.
Mike's
a
wonderful guy. He connected us. He introduced us. So we owe Mike, Conrad, send Mike $10. He gets a taste.
Okay.
We're talking about the mob here. Do you have favorite mob movies, Bob?
Any of the contemporaries, I absolutely love. I mean, yeah. You know, there are so many things, and I need to say this before we forget. The Godfather, the first one. I don't know if you've seen this or not, but I think it is on the Paramount Network, but it's called The Offer.
Oh, it's so great.
That is just fantastic. It's based in part on the book, Leave the Gun, Take the Cannoli.
Oh, okay. Right.
And that is such a great show.
And that show is like, it's amazing how a show about the making of a movie or getting a movie made can be so intoxicating. It was so great. Miles Teller is great. And yes. The whole cast is great. I totally agree. That's a phenomenal
it just,
watch.
We were hooked on it. I mean, yeah. We couldn't wait for it to come out. And now, recently, Al Pacino,
yeah.
His new book called Sonny Boy just came out on Tuesday. And he has been making the rounds and talking about all the different things that happened with him while right. making the movie. One of which was they were going to fire him.
Yeah.
And because they thought he was too laid back and didn't have the bones to do the job. And Coppola was told, listen, he might be a good theater guy, but he's a lousy movie guy, and was worried about it because so many of his friends had said, listen, this is the kid. And so they changed the order of the filming of The Godfather, and they went from his first scene, which was actually filmed in the hospital where he's with Marlon Brando.
Yeah.
After Brando's been shot. That was the first, yeah. First scene he ever shot.
Really?
And he said he was scared to death because it was Marlon Brando. And then things weren't going so well. So Coppola switched up the film and had the shot of the restaurant scene.
Yeah.
And one of the things they did, if you watch, is when he goes into the bathroom to get the gun from behind the tank, they didn't put the gun where it was supposed to be.
I think I read this.
Put it in a different spot so that he actually would be a little panicked looking for this gun. So you're watching that scene. When you realize that, you realize, oh, he is getting kind of nervous. So
I remember that and noticing that the first time I saw it. Because you remember they planted the gun there, and then Pacino goes in to look for it. And they showed what I read something very similar to what you just said. The studio wanted Robert Redford.
Yeah.
To play Michael Corleone. And I was like, he's a great actor, but come on. Now that you've done it, and Al Pacino, God love him, said in that memoir, an excerpt I read was that he and Diane Keaton were laughing between takes at the wedding, shooting the wedding, the opening scene, and they thought they were in the worst movie and they were ruining their careers.
It
just goes to show
amazing?
You.
Isn't that amazing? Also, I know you got to go to a break, but the scene with Lenny Montana, Luca Brasi.
Oh, yeah.
That was an accidental scene. They were filming Diane Keaton and Pacino, and he was in the background practicing his line. He truly was practicing. Lenny Montana was a wrestler and an enforcer for the mafia at one point.
Huh.
And he was truly practicing that scene. So Coppola did a quick pinch on it to be able to get that video of him and then actually used it in the movie. He recut everything to make it fit.
It's funny because I think that scene where he's with Marlon Brando, that whole sequence is lit so beautifully. It's such an isolation, desperate scene. I love that, and I can't believe the studio would have had to see the other scene, which was great too, but it's like if you don't see, you have a great actor at that point.
Yeah.
All right, Bob Dennis is here. We'll have more mob talk and mob movie talk coming up. Bob's going to help me close out the show here. Great to have you with me on this Thursday night edition of Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tonight, so bright, tonight.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Carl Sarecki from Door County Trolley. Have you ever lost anybody on one of the tours?
The question really isn't did you lose people or did you gain them? True story, one of our drivers.
So he gets home, picked up a Spirit along the tour.
Yeah, he's in bed, and then all of a sudden the treadmill starts up on him.
See, if I were a ghost, I think I would just get liposuction. I don't think I would mess around with cardio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Sometimes as dads, I think we're too hard on ourselves. We get down on ourselves on not being able to, you know, we're the providers, but we also have to learn to take care of ourselves. Arapaho way, you got to pray for yourself as well as for everybody else, but never forget yourself. Self-love made me a better dad because I realized my worth.
Never stop being a dad. That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
And I heard the scientists say the other day that when a man votes for a woman, he actually transitions into a woman.
What Jesse happens Waters. When a woman votes for a man?
Turns into a man.
But that's okay, though.
That's fine.
Yeah, because then she gets control of her body.
Oh.
Ah, see what I did there?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us. or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We are back. We've got a few more minutes here with Bob Dennis, our resident mob guru, mob expert, mob aficionado. He is not in the mob. I want to make that very clear, ladies and gentlemen, so the law enforcement pulling up outside can back off. Bob, you have a podcast gathering happening soon you wanted to talk about a little bit.
Yes, actually.
Tell us about that.
Thank you for letting me bring this up. It's called A Little Something for Everyone. It's a live podcasting experience. It's going to be held in Appleton. Can I say the name of the establishment?
Yeah.
It's McFleshman's, which is just off College Avenue in Appleton, on the second floor in the Prohibition Room.
Oh, I love it.
And there will be multiple people who are there. Bobby and Allison Fleshman do the, it's a bar, not a bar, but they do a podcast called Respecting the Beer. And,
okay.
They will be doing that. Gary Arndt will be there doing his Everything Everywhere Daily. Jess Hesley will be there with her meditation well. I'll be there for Mob and Mafia News. Eric Walterkins and Gavin will be there for the Fox City's Murder and Mayhem, as well as
their
Mob and Mafia or Milwaukee Mafia. And it's a chance for people to find out about podcasting and what they can do. And it's really very simple, very easy. I mean, it's very, there's nothing to it. I mean, if I can do it, anyone can.
You know what I think we need are more podcasts. I don't think there are nearly enough podcasts out there. I can't keep up. Every time somebody suggests a podcast, it just goes in one ear and out the other, unless it really grabs me, because there's just so many, and there's a lot of good ones too. I don't even know how you keep up with it, you know.
I listen in the car when I go from point to point
now, right?
Granted, you know, there's the old saying in Green Bay, if you're gone more than 10 minutes you're out of town, but you know, so I'm trying to listen to as many as I can, and I enjoy them, but I have to have an agenda to listen, because if I don't, I'll miss out on them. There's also there's one that is not a Green Bay one, and that is Tim Dennis, who is yes related, has the Darkness Radio, which is also about paranormal things and all that kind of creepy stuff. And that I kind of try to avoid, because I'm kind of a chicken.
Okay.
So, but it actually, I've actually listened. It is a wonderful podcast. So.
Oh, that's great. All right. Well, you know, there's a lot I wanted to get with you, your experiences, you know, with Hollywood when you were younger sound interesting too, but we're just going to have you back sooner, I guess, because I don't think we'll have time for that. But I do want to ask you, who to you is the most intriguing mafia character in American history?
It's going to be hard to believe, but it's a guy named Arnold Rothstein.
Okay.
Arnold Rothstein was a genius. Okay. He didn't have a group of people who followed him, but everybody dealt with him in New York. You couldn't do anything without Arnold Rothstein having a hand in it financially, intellectually, helping everybody in New York and all the different families to facilitate and keep everybody from killing each other. And he basically kept things together. He ended up having a tragic end, as oftentimes they do, because he had overextended himself. And they said, yeah, you got to pay this back. He didn't have the money. He was very close to a big payout. They killed him. 2 days later, it hit big time, and there was like millions and millions of dollars.
Oh, my gosh.
And he was dead.
Was he an accountant?
He was just a math genius. A lot of these guys never had education, never went,
right.
Never did anything. Capone was another one who was a mathematical genius.
Really?
And an organizational genius.
Huh.
And just an amazing kind of thing. These guys, and you say, well, why couldn't they do something else and, you know, get a real job and do that? I mean, really? Sit behind
a desk? They didn't want that.
Who wants to sit behind a desk? Right. You know? I mean,
it's like that line in Goodfellas when Ray Liotta is narrating and he says, we saw these people going to work and sitting in their cars. We thought they were suckers. We thought they had no... I don't even know if I can say the word, but one more question for you, Bob. Who's the most powerful gangster in American history?
Oh, absolutely ever would have been Al Capone.
Okay.
He controlled everything. He was a psychopath.
Right.
He was both probably the most generous man people knew as far as community, giving people money, giving them food, facilitating their homes. But if you messed with him, you were dead. And he basically ran everything from Chicago out to California until he was cornered. And when he was cornered and captured, it wasn't by the police. It was by an accountant.
Right. How about that?
Isn't that amazing?
I think it's interesting, too. We talked a little bit during the break about the North Side and South Side gangs in Chicago. The South Side were the Italians and the North Side were the Irish. And they coexisted well until Bugs Moran's outfit or O'Banion's outfit got too greedy.
Yep.
And that's how the St. Valentine's Day Massacre went down. That was their retribution or their payback for being greedy. And I remember this, I can't remember where I read it. There was a shootout and Bugs Moran had his gun pointed at Al Capone, who was on the street and had been shot in a shootout.
Mm-hmm.
And he said something to him. I can't remember. And he shot and he was out of bullets.
Yeah.
That would have ended Al Capone and the North Side gang. The Irish gang would have continued. That is an incredible bit of history, how it just turned.
It just, you know, it misfired and it didn't work. And it was like, okay, that was actually shortly before the St. Valentine's Massacre. And it was right around the time that they killed O'Banion.
Okay.
And yes, this is just fascinating. But you have a connection to the St. Valentine's Day.
I do. My cousin, Peach Waba, God rest his soul, just passed away a couple weeks ago, and he was a great guy. His grandfather, my great-grandfather, who Pete was named after, Peter Hyacinth Schwaba, was the judge who set the bail for the St. Valentine's Day Massacre shooters. And he was shot at one point, too, leaving the courthouse with his boss in Chicago.
Wow.
And originally from Stevens Point, of the Stevens Point Schwabas. I didn't even know, you know, that side of my family doesn't talk much. I got the Irish side, who never stops talking, and then I've got the Polish-German side, who are very quiet. We didn't even know that that was a thing that he set the bail for the shooters until about 5 years ago in this family history. I'm like, that's a cool thing to talk about. You can mention that. It's not bragging if you really did it. Hey, Bob, this has been fun. Let's do it again soon. And I'd like to thank Eric Hulse from Colonel Popcorn. Check out their operation. You can order it through the mail. Great holiday gift. Thank you for all your texts. And thank you to Bob Dennis. Always
thank
fun to
you
have
for
you here,
having
buddy.
Me here. It's fun.
So much fun. And thank you to the lovable producer, Conrad.
You're welcome. What a terrific guy.
Was it Jack Lemmon you wanted to say
yes,
one more time?
Jack Lemmon.
Jack Lemmon, a man of few words. All right, we'll be back tomorrow with more Nightlight. It's a Freaky Friday and Bar Band Friday night. We got a lot going on tomorrow night, folks. Hope you can make it. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight. Good night, Wisconsin.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. Dom Salvia.
Matt Rothschild subbing in for Dom Salvia on the next show. I'll be joined by firebrand Scott Bross, who's always fun to listen to. I hope you'll tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand?
No, you hold my hand.
Here.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.